Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And please, you need to circle that somewhere and I will come back to it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. How many times? Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now let's take our seats and we'll take a short Bible study. What part are we now, spiritual authority? Seriously. Part 3 was first service of last Sunday. So this is part 5. Some have been following and others have not. So, amen. Thank you, Lord. Please just stay on that. You're on the right course. So, Jesus declared, he said, all power. The word translated power here is the word exousia. It means all authority. All authority to govern, to superintend, to rule, to judge, to exercise power has been given to me. And he took a step further to give us the jurisdiction of that power. He said in the heavens and in the earth. Which means that before Jesus stepped in here, there were specific powers that were responsible for the ordinations, for the activities, for the cause and effect that we see on earth. And may I tell you that whatever you see on earth is cause and effect. There are very few things that are not cause and effect, just very few things. Sometimes when you find that someone is entering into a new realm or is getting blessed in a particular way, there is a cause. Something has happened. And what most people see, what you refer to as testimony, is the effect. Sometimes when you have misdiagnosis or wrong diagnosis of the situation, you might be applying wrong treatment, you know, to what is actually wrong with you, spiritually or physically. And you may wonder and say, but I did what I was asked to do. But no, you didn't do what you were asked to do. There is something missing in the equation. Something that precedes what you are doing. Let's say you are praying. But there is something that precedes that prayer. Especially when you are dealing with legal entities. I remember some few weeks ago I shared with us that every time you have done all that scripture said you should do, pray, fast, study the word, speak prophetically, and you find that the gates are not moving, It is because legal entities are involved. And legal entities, these are spiritual lawyers. They understand the law. They understand what is at work here. They know that simply asking, please forgive me, will not be enough. And let me tell you, in case you are listening to me, this earth is a creation of power. When God created this earth, he was executing his power. Which means if you are on this earth and you are powerless, you will be a victim. Your good or best intentions, regardless. Please let me preach to your neighbor. You cannot afford to be without power. It's very dangerous. I'm telling you. And because we have lived for so long in the church without power. So, over a period of 20, 25 years, we became introduced to a new type of ministry. That many referred, they gave it different names, but over time we just realized that the average Christian really does not know how to approach God. The average Christian today, especially if you have been in the faith for about 20 years or 25 years, the average Christian doesn't know how to go to God and get something. Because what was sold to us was religion. What was sold to us? I mean, I was listening to someone who was speaking, and he said he knows people who are not pastors. They are not pastors. He said, but they told their family members, I will be leaving this earth by the month end. He wasn't a pastor, but he was a man that worked with God. But he knew the day of his death and told his children, all of you, come around. Those children spoke about seeing their father, who was not a pastor, was not a minister, raise the dead, healed people in their neighborhood. But he was not a pastor. He was just a man who walked with God. So when the man summoned his children and said, I'll be leaving the earth this month end. Do you know what the children did? Oh, glory. They didn't cry. They started fasting. Not fasting for their dad not to die, fasting for a transfer of inheritance. That's a spiritual family. And that is why we teach the way we do here. We cannot afford what... Look, listen, you may not know. In fact, the fact that you are not even aware that you are surrounded by battle may be a pointer to the fact that you have been taken out. The day you start doing something that matters to heaven, you will see Satan. The only reason why your life is peaceful now is because there's no threat. Satan doesn't consider you a threat. This earth is a creation of power. This earth is a creation of power. And Jesus told us, he said, I've been given authority in the heavens and in the earth. Because before now, God gave earth to man. He said the earth he has given to man. But God stayed in the heavens. But Jesus said, now my own authority, because of my sacrifice. Oh, listen to me. Sometimes you are praying for certain things, but there is no sacrificial element to what you are asking for, which is why that gate is not open. Jesus didn't make that statement before he died. But he rose from the grave and said, the authority to govern and rule in the midst of your enemies has now been given to me. He said it in Matthew chapter 28. And listen to me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have a list of the gift of the Spirit. But those are not the only ones. When we take account of those 9 gifts of the Spirit, what you are actually referring to are gateways of powers. Gateways. Those 9 gifts, are they 9? 9 gifts of Spirit. They are gateways of what? Of power. So when you begin to seek the Lord for access, what you are actually saying is that this access we come to through one of these gates, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of healing, and the ability to interpret tongues. Very rarely today you will see anyone who actually operates in the gift of interpretation of tongues. Very rarely. And that's to tell you how low the level has, the water level has become so low. There are custodians of power in the atrium, which is our own base. And Jesus said, I now have authority in the heavenly realms and on the earth. Now, let me take it a step further. You see, the word heavens there is not really talking about where God stays. Please pay attention. The word heaven that was used in Matthew chapter 28 and I believe verse 18 is not really talking about the dwelling place of the Almighty God. The word used for the heavens is called Uranus. And that means the idea of elevation, speaking about what? Specifically the sky. An extension of heaven up to the place where God dwells. So when we are talking about authority here, I want you to understand that there is no crisis in heaven. Hello? There is nobody is fighting for anything in heaven now. Everybody in heaven are currently existing in an economy that is currently working. Their prayer there is not about what they will eat. All right? The prayer there is not whose house rent is due. They don't collect rent in heaven. But you see, when you step just slightly below the heavens, the heavenly realm where God stays, and you just take a step, just five steps, just count two steps, and come down, you enter straight into the realm of warfare, which is the second heavens. So when Jesus said, I have authority in the heavens, he wasn't just talking about where God dwells. He was talking about the place where spiritual warfare takes place. Come on, are you here? Which means if you are going and you are engaging at that level, God wants you to know that he will never send you to a battle and sit at home. And your confident level, because the problem many times is not the authority. The problem is that we are not even sure if it's with us. And that's why he told us in Mark chapter 28, he said, and lo, I will be with you up to the, what? The end of the world. Please put up that scripture. He said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I hope you know that what this also means is that the day you started your journey with Jesus, he started walking with you. But you didn't see him. Some of you were blessed enough, you saw him in your dreams. Some have not even seen it. They've not seen a feather of an angel, not to even talk of. But what Jesus was saying here is that the end of the world is not even strong enough to cancel out his own faithfulness to you. That if this earth wraps itself like a carpet and rolls away, Jesus said at the end of that world, you will see him standing, holding your hand. Come on, shout hallelujah. Said, I will be there to the end of the age. And guess what he's doing? Standing with you. The day your spirit leaves your body, the first person you will see is Jesus. Not an angel. Said, I will be with you. I will be with you. That's what Jesus. It's a personal promise that should influence the quality of your relationship with him. Because you cannot prevail. You cannot wield spiritual authority without the permission of Jesus. And his presence in your life is what confirms and validates your authority. A lot of people are trying to use spiritual authority without consideration for the person of Jesus. It will not work. So what Jesus has established here is that there will be spiritual warfare. Please take off this scripture. Is that staying there for too long? There will be warfare at the second heavens, and there will be warfare. There will be warfare on the earth, which is the first heaven. So you must understand the nature of warfare on the earth differently from the warfare that you experience or that comes from the second heavens. When you are involved in spiritual battles, in spiritual warfare from the earth realm, you will most likely engage more with demons, with devils. And please, you need to understand this. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said, "Behold, I give you authority. I give you authority." So out of the authority that he has received of his Father, that was what he bequeathed to us. Because the battle is not in heaven. Are you with me? Not in God's presence, is here. He doesn't need the authority there. Are you still with me? And please, can I tell you, Jesus did not give us a part of the authority. He gave us all the authority. Hallelujah. He gave us all the authority. And what does Jesus, what is he doing right now? Jesus occupies a particular office in the heavens that is known as the office of the high priest. Which means every time you go before God and you are asking or legislating for something, Jesus enters into the holiest of all. Like the high priest, the way he enters in the day of the Jewish, of the old covenant. And Jesus is always there. In the place of intercession. The scripture says he maketh intercession. He is in the place of intercession. So when you now walk into a church or something that claims to be a church and they tell you it's not about prayer, I want you to know the spirit that is speaking in that place. The only office Jesus maintained was the office of the prayer, of an intercessor, of a prayer man. That was the office. He didn't keep the office of a teacher. He gave that to the Holy Spirit. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? So when you are experiencing the blessing that comes from Jesus, you will always have the urgency to pray. And because the Holy Spirit will not reveal anything to you without taking it from Jesus. Because Jesus said in the book of John, "He shall only reveal that which I give to him." So, which means if you are having a major crisis and you are unable to tell what is going on in your life, it's because there is the absence of revelation. The Holy Spirit has not spoken. The problem here is that the Holy Spirit may be speaking on level 10 and you're on level 5. And the difference between level 5 and level 10 may be sacrifice. Are you still here? Now, the problem is not that God cannot speak to you where you are. Everything he will tell you right now is to get you further. It will take you further. It will take you further. But you will not hear the main thing, because the main information, you can't receive it now. And I know you think you can receive it, but Jesus saw the disciples and told them, "There are things I want to share with you, but you cannot receive them." Those guys who are with him, they saw him physically. And yet Jesus kept saying to them, "You are not ready." As long as you think you are ready, that's how Jesus knows you are not ready. Because there is an element. There is an element that qualifies a man for readiness. It is fire. I said there is an element. Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued." When the Holy Spirit came, what did they see? They saw fire. And this is the element that is missing in the lives of most people. There are many things we have imported into our lives that fire cannot burn. Like metal. Metal, iron. You put it in the fire, it doesn't burn. You put wood, wood burns. So, eventually you accumulate a lot of things that becomes a clog. Fire is no longer able to burn because the space for the firewood, the wood. I mean, Isaac said to his father, I can see the wood. I can see the fire. But where is the sacrifice? But in your own case, there is no wood because there is no space. The item God will use must be combustible. It must be something that it can lit on fire. Are you still with me? So you the difference between you and level 10, where God is about to give you major download, is sacrifice. And that sacrifice can differ from person to person. It may not be fasting for you, because already you are on hunger strike perpetually. You may be on hunger strike. Some of you are not even aware. You've been on hunger strike for 7 years. There's one soup we used to make when we were poor. Ila la sepo, something like that. Something like that. You are laughing. I don't understand what the laughter means. Is it not? I know they don't understand, but I don't even know how to interpret it. So, Mama, make I describe it here, they talk. So, I'm aware that some people... Now, hello, calm down. Now, MJ, do you know how to do it? Because I'm looking for... So it's like you have okra. Okay, my interpreter is here. You have okra. You said? Yeah, that blended, grounded pepper is the main element. That, Mama, that grounded pepper or ground pepper, that's what the... There is no... It's not soup per se. It's just okra. But you now... No, because we have to be careful about our choice of words, because I want them to get what I'm saying. That one you just mentioned is also Yoruba. So that, sometimes, the way I used to do it, that grounded pepper, I will now add more water and turn it till it becomes... then... I will. That's the one I will add the Maggi to, and salt, and we can eat gari with it. So that crayfish you are talking about is if that day is a good day. Hello, if that day is a good day and the Lord has provided, you may have. But on a very good day, I have learned how to eat with less. And sometimes I miss that delicacy. But believe me, you are on hunger strike. So if the Lord wants you to... Now, there are some that have... There's a way they will prepare it. You almost confuse it for ogbono, because they add so many things to it. But I'm not here... Those ones are okay. I'm talking about those who have been living like this perpetually without even realizing they have not been eating for 5 years. So for you, God may not be asking you to fast. That's not the issue. You are already on hunger strike. When the Lord said to the disciples, he said, tarry till you be endued. Did he tell them not to eat? No, they were eating. It is when the Lord says tarry, you will now know the challenge, the discipline that comes with sitting with your scriptures, not iPad, scriptures, and reading 30 chapters every day. And sometimes when you read a chapter, those people say read it again because you are distracted. You are distracted. Your mind was somewhere else. So you may find that actually you read 50 chapters because some of the chapters, you rushed it. So the Holy Spirit said, go back and read it. Meanwhile, it's Isaac begat, and Jehoiakim begat, and all the begat, all the all the all the begats in the Bible, and those are the very boring parts of the Bible. And Abraham begat, and Nahu begat, and you're like, now that is dead news to you, but it's not. It's not. One day I will take two of those cases and analyze it for you. You will now realize that without history, your revelation can be incapacitated. Without history. If you don't know your history, if you don't know where you have come from, they gave birth to you in the UK and you tell yourself you are British. Sir, you are a black man. Go and ask your parents before they die. Where did we come from? Because your battles will come from your bloodline, not from where you live. I say your battles will come from what? Your bloodline. Not necessarily where you live alone. So there are battles that pertain to this earth. And when you are dealing with those type of battles, you will be dealing with familiar spirits. You will deal with devils, with demons that have lived in that area for so long. When you deal with battles in the second heavens, you are dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. None of those categories are demons. Even though they have demons that work with them, but they are not demons. This element of sacrifice is the primary reason why a lot of people are unable to deploy spiritual authority. And I want you to seriously consider this matter. Seriously consider this matter. The difference between two Christians. And I'm not even talking about you being a pastor. I'm talking about you being so effective that the heavens recognize you and hell respects you. Because of the kind of person you have built yourself to be. Your spiritual progress doesn't really depend on God. It actually matters if you are interested in your own spiritual progress. Number two, your spiritual progress doesn't really relate with your feelings. A lot of people feel many things, but spiritual authority doesn't work in that space. And when we get to the second service, I will talk about the ons. We'll talk about the ons. Psalm 92. You will now understand the difference between two Christians who may attend the same church, pray the same prayer, but have different results. Do you know that for some of you that have been Christians for 5, 7, 8, 10 years, the Lord has certain expectations around about you? Do you know when I first became a Christian, this scripture, maybe I'll go there in Mark 16, was one of the first scriptures that was read to me. After I became a Christian, and they said to me, now that you are part of us, you have the authority to cast out evil spirits. I wasn't even speaking in tongues. But they told me, they said, this is the birthright of everyone who truly follows Jesus. That even the weakest among us is more powerful than the strongest of devils. That's what they told me. And I believed it. And I told them, I said, can I practice it? They said, by all means. So I went out to look for people who are possessed. Do you know the difference between someone who became a witch yesterday or who has been a witch for 5 years and the difference between a Christian who has been a believer for 5 years? This one has been communicated to and has been taught. You see, the issue of discipleship is about establishment. It's about conviction. About the things you have read about in the scriptures. Discipleship is not a boring class. It is a live experiment. I will pray on someone now. and they ask you, okay, you pray on that person. The moment you are able to pray and the person says, oh, the pain has reduced, your own faith will begin to rise. Then the next time you try it again, the person becomes fully healed. Then it's okay, this is good. Then you want to try it again. Then you will now begin to notice, Pastor, I observe that anything that has to do with body pains, I'm able to heal those people. But when it has to do with like blood, disease, or bacteria, I don't have progress. Okay, then we'll move to the next phase. That's discipleship. Jesus walked with his disciples 3.5 years. And I dare say to you, that is the amount of time you need to make anything out of your life. 3.5 years. Your university education is also 3.5 years. Forget ASUU strike. Are you with me? Your 4 years in university is not actually 4 years. I hope you know. It's less. And if you attend, if you school in certain countries where they have summer and... Is it winter? They have 2 calendars. Schools that run fall, exactly. You can graduate in 1.5 years. Because you will, instead of going home, you will do 100 level year, 200 level. So in 2 years, you are a graduate. And somebody will be beefing you that because he went to UNILAG, that you went to a school in Spain or in Sweden. Continue with your struggle. Maybe you want to be a freedom fighter. So continue. Let those of us who can go to Spain, go there and get our degree. I want you to understand, because when you read the scriptures slowly, you'll be seeing certain things. Go and download the type of Bible that gives you access to a concordance. Don't listen to any message simply because it is popular and appeals to your ears. You will not find power on the popular street. And let me tell you, there are things that we may do or we may permit or we may see online and we may think these things are now acceptable. Listen to me. That thing you are seeing is just a full declaration that this person was not discipled. For instance, as a pastor, whether you can sing or not, this has nothing to do with having musical skills. One of the criteria you will need is to be able to bring down God's presence if you hold the microphone. But if you go to a Bible school, will they teach you that? No. Who has been to any form of theological? Nobody will tell you, oh, this is how to bring God's presence down. It's a life class. Kenneth Hagin once said, he mentioned, I don't know how to sing. Kenneth Hagin said, I don't know how to sing, but I know how to bring God's presence down. He said he mastered a lot of scriptures, especially from Psalms, and he learned poems. Kenneth Hagin would use, he would read out the things he could have sung as poems, and he would just say, "For the Lord is my shepherd, he causes me to rise on." You know, he would just begin to speak those words. Until there is a sense of the presence of the Lord. You cannot master that type of thing in one day. You must have done it again and again and again and again and again and again. The same way you will find the music team or very established choirs. You just see the lead singer. It would just take a part. And people are like, wow. It wasn't an inspiration. She had rehearsed it 1,000 times. That's how you know. That's how you know. When they bring a case to you, you can say, well, this one is above my pay grade. Then you call Busayo and say, Busayo, please help me minister to this person. You should be able to know your spiritual chemistry. You should be able to understand your spiritual nature over time. And if someone comes to you and says, like Elijah, tell me what you want. By understanding, by reason of understanding of what you know about yourself, you should be able to say, well, this is my current level and this is what I need now. Don't lose your fire because you got married. Don't lose your fire because you got a job. that in the realm of the spirit, this is not the way you look. That there are people sitting here now, but in the spiritual realm, when you look at them, you see flames of fire on that chair. That is, you know, when Moses saw the presence of God in the burning bush, he said the burning bush was not being consumed. But you are also a flame of fire on that chair, and that chair is not being consumed. Have you seen yourself in the spirit? Have you seen yourself in the spirit? Are you not ashamed that you walk into a place and you are unable to look through and see the problem, and somebody from the occult world who has just been a member for 2 years shows up and tells you, this is it. Are you not ashamed that with your heavenly intelligence you are disconnected? Meanwhile, when the Spirit of God came, he said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and they will prophesy. To prophesy means that you first of all have the ability to hear. What guarantees authority? It's not just you saying, yeah, the scripture says, you shall cast. No! Your authority is not far away from your hunger. Your authority is not far away from your desire. Your authority is not far away from your yearning of God. Paul said what? He said, follow love, but covet spiritual gift. Follow love, but covet. That covet seems a bit selfish. Follow love. When you see love, just follow it. But as you are following, certain things will be introduced to you. If you say you are following love and you don't covet, you will be a Christian Jesus loves, but you will suffer. You will suffer. Because the instruments for revelation are the giftings of the Spirit. You cannot claim to covet if your prayer asking for that gift was only for one day. Jesus told them, tarry till you are filled, till you are endued with power for 50 days. Lord, 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 Lord. They were praying. When they are tired, Peter will teach. Go and read the scriptures, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Peter will teach. Imagine that David, on the day he saw Goliath, was not spiritually trained. Just imagine. Just imagine that after Samuel laid his hands on him, he went to sleep. I am telling you that the difference between level 5 and 10 is sacrifice. When you have seen where God wants to take you to, you will now sit down and ask yourself, what will this thing take? That one, the Holy Spirit will not, he will tell you. This one is 90 days. Sometimes it's not the problem. It's not the size of the mountain. It's the size of the believer. Sometimes the problem is not the mountain. It is the size of the believer. Sometimes the problem is not the mountain. It is the size of your faith. Sometimes the problem is not how mesmerizing it looks. It's not how impossible it looks. It is that what? You will only produce faith to the level of your capacity. You will only be able, under pressure, to deliver what you already have mastered. So the moment, the seasons of peace that the Lord grants you is the opportunity for growth. Every time you notice in the last 3-4 months that your life has been peaceful, don't sleep. Start praying. Start fasting. There are people that pray and they fast. They fast for 25 days, 21 days. They fast for 40 days. But they leak all those spiritual accumulations through jesting or talking too much. They come on, are you still here? I said they you need to know how these things work. Have you ever wondered why Jesus, after praying, the Bible will say, sometimes after teaching, the Bible says he will separate himself from people and go and sit alone. He wasn't praying every time. You just wanted to stay away. Normalize turning off your phone. Yes, the world will not end. But if your own world ends, people will move on. If you look at this world the way it is, you will not want to be nice. Are you not surprised that Jesus gathered over 5,000 people or about 20,000 people and fed them? Are you not surprised that Jesus would walk into the temple and everybody was sick that they would get healed? The Bible says in a particular portion, it says as many as touched him were healed. Nobody came. There were days where you needed your faith to be healed. There were days that the power was so strong, just coming within the circumference of where Jesus was, you'll be healed. Jesus died. Jesus resurrected. Went back to heaven. There was no announcement in the church. Sorry, we've not been seen. See, there's that man. No complaint. They have moved on. So don't worry if the world forgets you. They did it first to your Savior. Protect your heart space. Protect your heart. Because if Jesus says it's time to move, don't worry. Everybody will be all right. Yes, church is quiet too. I said they did it to your Jesus. You are angry that Chike did it to you. You are angry. You are still angry after 7 days. Do you know how long it took them to forget Jesus? This wicked world. Do you know how many people raise their hands to heaven while Jesus was preaching, shouting, "I receive, I receive, I receive, I have received. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God." Do you know how many people were screaming? And Jesus told just 500, say, "Tarry." By the time the Holy Spirit came, only 120. You can't sit with an instruction, forget authority. You can't sit with an instruction that God lays upon your heart. I'm not saying you heard audible voice. So it just came like a thought. Forget about authority. If what you are talking about is becoming strong. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Somebody is sick and they bring the person to you. You can say, "Let me pray." Do you know that most people I pray for, I actually don't need to pray for them. All I need to do, in some of the cases, is to tell them, "Go, you are free." But if I do that, they will not believe. They will feel insulted. They will feel I don't appreciate their problem. Come on, are you still here? You need to travel with God to know your level per time. Sometimes, maybe one of you have come and I said, "Don't, just go, don't worry. It will be all right." Maybe you wanted prayer. That's the prayer. It's not actually a prayer you need. You just need a declaration. But you see, how would you know your level if you have not been on that journey? If you want to speak to demons less, speak to God more. If you spend time with God, you won't have to spend 3 hours saying, come out, shout, come out. How many are you? Come out. You don't need it. Because he said all authority. He said all authority has been given to me. Listen to me. When Jesus rose from the dead, you see that Matthew 28 we read from? That Matthew 28 was not when he rose up. That was many days. The scripture said after he rose up, he still spent, I think probably about 40 days or so, still teaching his disciples, fine-tuning the matters of the kingdom. He was talking to them and fine-tuning. And it was in those conversations, he restored Peter. In those conversations, he brought the team back together. Only one was missing. In 40 days, he seemed to even achieve more. Because for once, Peter listened. Then maybe John too realized that it's not by crying at the altar. You need stamina. Many people cry at the altar and not deep. They confuse their emotion with their authority level. It's okay to cry and be broken. But when we get to the second service, you will understand what I'm saying here. The difference between this authority level on level 5 and level 7 and level 10 is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Don't play. I'm telling you now. However, what will be required from you may not be the same as what will be required from me. A woman needed a child and she cried and cried and cried and didn't get a child. Then she said, God, if you give me this child, I will give him back to you. And she got a child. There was another woman who needed a child. She must have prayed and prayed and prayed and got tired and stopped praying. And then she saw a prophet and she just felt led in her heart. Let me be a blessing to this man. The man doesn't know her. And they have no business together. She just responded to the impressions on her heart. That was it. She didn't even need, when the prophet even asked her, do you want a child? She said, no. There is no shame anybody could have put on her at her age that she has not had. So she was probably somewhere in her 50s or 60s. There was nothing you would tell her, you shameless woman, you robot. There's nothing you can tell her. By the grace of God, she's blessed. She wants to see the king, she can go in. She can adopt. And there's nothing wrong with adoption. But she didn't get the child by prayer. She got it by making the life of a man of God easier. So the man of God said, you will not pray again. Give me your name. Give me your husband's name. Go and sleep. Oluwa, my life has become better. I've been eating well in the last 1 year because of this woman. Give her a child. Give her what money cannot buy. God did not even say, the woman just got pregnant. By mistake, she got pregnant. No need for faith. It was the prophet's anointing. Oh, it was the prophet's anointing that bypassed her faith. I'm talking about different layers of authority levels here. There's a level of faith. There's a level of the anointing. There's the level of love. Because love withholds the highest level and layer of power. The love of God. Withhold within itself the highest level. A man that walks in love is immune to satanic attacks. But you will not see that because that one is tied. Is tied to walking with God. Is tied to being a Christian. That one is tied to being a Christian. The moment God looks at you and says, this boy loves me. Even when you come to the altar, you see those tears. They are because, you have not prayed since yesterday and you're already feeling like you miss him so much. Your heart is so tender. You may not be preaching like a pastor, but you see your authority level. Woo! And that's where you should aspire for. Sacrifice. In my research, I've seen people who stumbled upon these authority levels with just 3 days of fasting. And let me tell you, if you want to make your fasting count, this is me. I'm just giving you a recommendation. Don't go and quote me. I said, I want to give you a recommendation. If you want to fast, if what you want is like my own prayer, is that I want the Lord to embody me, take over this body and fill it up. So you are going to wait on the Lord and you are going to be praying minimum 4 hours every day. Maybe if you can't do it at a stretch, 2 in the morning, 2 at night. But if you really want to push it, do 4 at once. So when you are done, you just lie down anywhere you are, sleep there. Because I notice that revelation becomes heightened when your flesh can no longer contend. When your flesh can't stand in the way of the Lord. it's easier for your spirit to rise and begin to see things that were around you that you didn't notice. And that's why you notice that anytime you pray and you just become unconscious for a few minutes, you have dreams, you have visions, because that is the reason why you can't see the way Jesus saw, is because you are still bound by your conscious self. That part of you that wants, you know, I have a problem sometimes, I want to sleep, but the TV is on, so I'm struggling. I know I should be sleeping, and my wife says, she stares at me many times struggling. Like, if you want to sleep, just sleep. I hold the remote, and I'm just, I want to, so later I'll be telling myself in my mind, I will rewatch that thing later. I will replay it. I think I'll check the, okay, it's 2 hours. I will come to this. I'm trying to sleep, but I'm talking to myself. I'm trying to give myself a reason to let go. Sometimes I wake up, I notice the remote is no longer. I just jump up. Where's the remote? Ah, they are watching some tears. You can determine your spiritual progress. Yeah. There's an element of sacrifice to spiritual authority. There's one other element of sacrifice of, no, not sacrifice now, but yes, in some measure you could say sacrifice. There's another element Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 28. He said, based on this authority that has been given to me, I want you to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Listen. The moment you become active in the service of God, the spiritual dynamics around you will change. That's why I told you that there is something inherently wrong with our version of Christianity that makes us sit, not stand. That makes us see the pastor as someone that must make you laugh on Sunday. There's something wrong with that version of Christianity that puts a pastor on Facebook, on Twitter, and he's just dancing. You understand? There's something wrong. And we are not seeing it. And we are not aware that all these people, none of them, there's no one walking in power. Nobody is asking questions. That if truly you represent Jesus, where is the evidence? Nobody's asking. I am not seeing any pastor say, "Pastor, this week, 7 days, I want to come and spend time with Jesus here." Ah, it's like I don't know him enough. Because when you say you know Jesus, you are talking about what? You know his person, his humanity, you know his divinity, you know his doctrine, you know his voice, you know his power, you know his ministry, you know his priesthood. When a person says, "I know Jesus," these are the elements that you must lay claim to before you can say, "I think I know who Jesus is." A man of God is late now. Was it T.L. Osborne that went to India? Because zeal is not enough. I think it was T.L. Osborne that went to India and he was challenged. He was challenged by the Hindu priests over there. And one of them levitated into the air. Say, "Your Jesus can do everything. Come and meet me here." And you say, "Ha, ha, ha." But Philip disappeared. Jesus could have decided to tell the Holy Spirit, "Don't add that part to the scripture." And they'll remove it. You won't know. When you get to heaven, you'll be floating. You must know that which is possible within the context of your divine reality. Philip move from one point to another without a vehicle. Will it happen every day? No. Is it possible? Yes. You will not have access to any level of power you don't desire. You will never have access to any level of power that you don't desire. You don't have to be a pastor, but the journey starts with a strong desire. When the man of God got to India, on a life crusade, he was challenged. He left there in shame. Came back to America. There's something wrong with this, our gospel. He locked himself in the room. Told his wife, don't open the door. Started praying. Until one day he had a vision and he saw Jesus. Jesus didn't say a word to him. Jesus just came into his room and smiled and disappeared. Jesus didn't say, my son, I give you power. He already said that in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus just looked at him and smiled. Fast forward to his next crusade. He hit the door and told the wife, I got it. I found it. He had not done one miracle, but he knew he had found it. Because the moment you step into a new level, a witness will be given to you, announcing that this is now your real status now. Without that witness, don't be confident. There was a man that was, when I was just a new Christian, there was a man that used to be in the faith, he backslided and started drinking alcohol again. He would go back to the clubs and he would drink alcohol. And one day, that man was, people tried to bring him back. He did not come back. And according to the story I was told, one day, he was drinking like that. He sat in a corner and somebody started manifesting a demon. In the club, was manifesting heavily. The guy just turned to the other side and continued shaking. He said, Guda. He was just drinking Guda. When the noise became too much, the backsliding man walked to the person, said, out in Jesus' name. And the demon left. And he went back to his Guda and continued drinking. Sir, you mean after 5 years of leaving Jesus, you still have this deposit? Say, the gifts and callings of Jesus are what? Even though he had walked away, a residue was left strong enough to cast out a mad spirit. How far will your desire take you this morning? What have you been desiring? You spend 40 days of your time praying and fasting. Instead of fasting to be encountered by God, you are fasting for a car. Wrong, sir. Error. JavaScript error. Listen to me. You waited on God for 90 days to ask God for a child. No, you wasted that time. It's too much. Find God. Find your testimony. Find God. Find your miracle. Find God and find your anointing. Find God and recover your mantle. Find God and take your business to the next level. Everything that happens on the earth is a child of what has happened in the spiritual realm. The door of favor is not closed. You've not found the God of favor yet. When you find him, then the sacrifice and the price you need to pay will not be hard. Because at every point in time, when you're almost discouraged, then you will see him again. He will give you a sign telling you that he's still here. Then you will find that in those seasons, you will have a lot of songs. Even when it seems as though your prophecy is far away from you, or maybe you are far away from your prophecy, but you will just find that at every bus stop like this, he will just come to announce, I am still here. You know, his promise to you was that at the end of the world, he will be there with you, holding your hands. It's a promise. You might have forgotten. He did not forget what he said, though. And this one alone should be your confidence that when you are at the bus stop, Jesus is there. Not just an angel. Do you understand what that means? The whole of heaven standing with you. That you are not actually as powerless as you think. If only you remember the promise he made to you. That if the word, and believe me, if you cannot believe what he said in his word, if he appears to you, you will not believe. It is revelation of what he has said to you, what he has revealed to you, that makes the price you need to pay much easier. Because it will be tough. For a long time, you may look like you don't really have it together. But I came to announce to you, you can outgrow your mountains. You can outgrow your mountains. You can outgrow your mountains. You just notice that, the doctor said, we can see this thing in your blood, but it has no power over you. You have outgrown it. It is just there, dangling. When you are walking in revelation, the way you respond when you worship will be different. Because you have a picture somewhere in your head. There's something that has been revealed to you that is so clear, so clear, so clear. In your spirit, you say, I know that I know that that which I have committed in his hands will be kept until the day of Christ. It was a declaration of revelation. He knew, he had gotten to that point that in spite of everything he was going through, he knew that that which he kept, Jesus, I'm going to save you. Take my life. Hold it, I'm coming. He knew that that which he kept in Jesus' hands was safe. But do you know? A life of worship, a life that is given to Jesus, makes the journey malleable. You are able to transit. You are able to make consistent progress. You are no longer moved by the calendar of other people. You are no longer moved and challenged by the desires of other men. You know that when you finally get to that point, Jesus will make it happen. Because why? He makes all things beautiful in his right time. Hallelujah. I will arise. Arise, delight myself in the Lord, and he will give me all my desires. I will arise, delight myself in the Lord. And he will
give me all my desire.
Will you arise?
I will arise.
Delight myself.
Myself in the Lord. And
he will give me. Speak to every law that is at work in your life, every contrary law that is at work in your life, every contrary law that has defied your prayers, that has defied your anointing, that has defied your waiting and your fasting, sir. I want to speak to the root of those laws and command them to begin to expire. I speak into the root of every law that is contending with your health, that is contending with your destiny, that is contending with your marital future, that is contending with the plan of God over your life. I've come to declare that his judgment is written upon them to bind their kings with chains and their princes with fetters of iron. We command those laws to begin to expire. We command those laws to begin to expire. Every legality is now illegal. Every legality is now declared illegal. In the name of Jesus. We'll bring you under the covering of the blood. Over you, over your brothers, over your sisters, over your family. Whatever is not found in the blood of Jesus is now taken out of your DNA. I say it is taken out of your DNA. Let the power of God flow and begin to pull out every tree that the Father has not planted, every tree that Jesus did not plant in your life. Let the power of God begin to uproot it. Let the power of God begin to uproot it. Let the power of God begin to uproot it. It will not stand. It will not prosper. It will not stand. It will not prosper. It will not stand. It will not prosper. Every law that has been written against you, we raise a higher law this morning. We raise a higher law this morning in the name of Jesus. For we have received a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We command every law at work in oppression in your life to expire in the name of Jesus. Begin to expire. Wherever the foundation of those laws are, would declare the blood of Jesus renders it useless. No more premature death in your family. There is a family here, almost everyone that gives birth have to go through cesarean section. Now that law is taken out completely. I remove you under the covering of your father's bloodline. And I place you under the covering of the blood of Jesus. Every contention over your life because you are the firstborn. Every contention over your life because you are the son and daughter of inheritance. I command that warfare to expire. When Jesus saw that woman on the road of Nain going to bury her son, Jesus said to her, "Weep not." And Jesus touched the coffin, and life answered inside the coffin. Whatever is dead in your life, by reason of laws that have been in operation before you were born, in the name of Jesus, we set them aside. We set them aside. We plead the blood of Jesus. 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 For when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We plead the blood of Jesus over every destiny, over every child, over every life. We invoke the blood of Jesus. We plead 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 the blood of Jesus. 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 The blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus is flowing like a river. It's 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 flowing like a river. When I see the blood, I will pass.
pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. 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 The blood of Jesus.